Welcome to the deep dive. You know, trying to figure out which front-end JavaScript framework to really focus on. Well, as we head into 2025, it can feel a bit like navigating a maze, can it?
Oh, absolutely. There are just so many options, and things change incredibly fast in front-end.
Exactly. But that's what we're here for today, right? To try and untangle some of that.
That's the plan. Whether you're, you know, just starting out a web dev, or maybe you're an experienced pro looking to specialize, choosing that framework, it's a pretty big decision.
It really is.
So we're drawing from a recent analysis, Frontend Framework Showdown 2025, and our mission really is to dig into the current landscape. We're focusing on the big three, React, Angular, and Vue.
The dominant players, as the report calls them.
Yep. We want to give you a clear picture of what each one brings to the table, you know, their strengths, maybe where they fall a bit short, and where they stand right now in the market.
Okay, so React, Angular, Vue. Let's start with the big picture then. Who's actually using these frameworks in 2025? What's the market share look like?
Well, the analysis suggests React still holds the biggest piece of the pie. We're talking around 40% of the market, give or take.
40%? Wow. That's significant.
It really is. And it means you find it everywhere. You know, big names like Facebook, obviously, Netflix, Airbnb, but also tons of startups. It's pretty widespread.
That ubiquity makes sense. You see React mentioned all over the place. What about Angular? Where does it fit in?
Angular is sitting at number two, roughly 22% market share. It's a real stronghold. That's in the enterprise space.
The enterprise.
Think large organizations, complex applications, you know, Google, Microsoft, IBM companies needing that long-term maintainability, that really robust structure. That's often Angular territory.
Got it. So the big complex systems, and then there's Vue around 18%. What's its niche?
Vue occupies this really interesting middle ground. It's got strong traction, especially in Asia,
yeah,
but also globally with small to medium-sized companies. Mm. It's often seen as kind of bridging the gap, you know, offering some of that React-like flexibility, but maybe with a bit more structure built in than React's completely unopinionated approach.
A bridge. I like that framing. All right, let's dive deeper then. Starting with React, the market leader. What made it such a game changer initially?
I think the biggest thing was its component-based architecture. Just revolutionized things.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of one giant block of code, you build interfaces like Lego bricks, reusable component.
Right, that modular approach.
Exactly. And then there's the virtual DOM. Think of it like a lightweight copy of the actual web page. React figures out changes there first, then efficiently updates only what's needed in the browser. Much faster, smoother user experience.
Okay, that makes sense.
Plus, that whole learn once, write anywhere idea, especially with React Native letting you build mobile apps, that was and still is incredibly appealing for developers.
Yeah, learn once, write anywhere. Super powerful concept. So looking ahead to 2025, beyond those core ideas, what are React's main strengths now?
Well, first off, the ecosystem is just massive. The NPM registry, you know, the Load Package Manager library, it's overflowing with React tools, components, libraries for almost anything you can think of.
So tons of resources.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that directly feeds into the job market.
Yeah.
There are simply more React jobs out there compared to the others. It's also a pretty decent entry point into modern front-end concepts for newcomers.
Okay.
The community's huge, super active, so finding help, tutorials,
yeah,
docs, it's easy. Performance, when you optimize it right, is excellent. And of course, that flexibility. It's very unopinionated about how you structure things.
Flexibility and a massive community.
That's
sounds great. But that flexibility, does it have downsides?
It definitely can. That's a key point. For beginners especially, the sheer number of choices, which routing library, which state management tool, it can lead to what people call decision fatigue.
Right. Too many choices can be overwhelming.
Exactly. And the React world moves fast. You really have to commit to continuous learning to keep up. Also, for complex apps, you might end up writing a fair bit of setup code, you know, boilerplate.
Okay.
And state management, as we touched on, often means pulling in and learning extra libraries beyond React itself.
So flexibility is a double-edged sword, particularly when you're starting.
Got it. Now, the report mentioned React 19. What were the key things there?
React 19 brought some really nice improvements. Things like automatic batching of state updates for better efficiency, enhancements to concurrent features, making UIs feel more responsive.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe the biggest thing is the growing importance of React server components. This idea of rendering parts on the server, integrating seamlessly with the client, it's really pushing React towards being a full stack solution.
Full stack React.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems like a major trend. Okay, let's switch gears. Angular, the enterprise powerhouse you called it, what's its core philosophy?
Angular's approach is quite different. It's much more batteries included. It's a complete framework, very opinionated. Batteries included.
Meaning it gives you pretty much everything you need out of the box. Routing, fetching data with its HTTP client, tools for forms, testing frameworks. It's all built in.
Ah, okay. So less need to hunt for third-party libraries for core stuff. What are the advantages of that?
The big one is consistency. Especially on large teams working on complex, long-running projects, everyone follows the same structure. That's huge for maintainability.
I can see that.
It's built with TypeScript first, so you get excellent type safety, like a built-in checker catching errors early. Very valuable in enterprise settings. Mm. The Angular CLI, their command line tool, is super powerful, automates a lot of tasks.
Right.
And things like two-way data binding can really simplify working with forms, keeping the UI and data in sync.
Consistency, type safety, strong tooling sounds ideal for those big projects. But the flip side, what are the potential drawbacks?
Well, that structured approach comes with a steeper learning curve initially. There are just more core concepts, more Angular-specific ways of doing things you need to grasp up front compared to, say, React or Vue.
Okay, it takes longer to get comfortable.
Potentially, yeah. Also, the initial bundle size, the amount of code the user downloads first, can sometimes be larger than the others, which might affect that initial load time.
Right.
And for simpler, smaller projects, Angular can honestly feel like overkill.
Mm.
That opinionated nature might feel a bit restrictive if you want to do things differently.
So maybe not the best pick for a quick landing page or a small app. What about updates? What's new in Angular 18?
Angular 18 focused a lot on performance and just making the developer experience better. They've been pushing standalone components, which simplifies how you structure the app, makes it easier to manage.
Standalone components, okay.
And they introduced Signals, a new way to handle reactivity, making updates more fine-grained and potentially faster. Think updating only the tiny bit of the UI that changed.
Signals. Interesting. It sounds a bit like concepts from other frameworks creeping in.
In a way, yeah. But implemented the Angular way. They also improved hydration, that process of making server-rendered pages interactive faster. Good stuff. Bring in more flexibility, maybe. Okay, let's round out the big three with Vue, the progressive framework. What's the thinking behind Vue?
Vue's core idea is approachability and incremental adoption. It's designed so you can sprinkle it into an existing project easily or build full-scale apps. It tries to take the best bits of React and Angular, but keep things simple.
Simplicity and approachability, always appealing. What are its key strengths now in 2025?
That gentle learning curve is probably its biggest selling point, often considered the easiest of the three to pick up.
Easier than React, even.
Generally, yes, especially the initial ramp up. The documentation, fantastic, really clear, great for beginners. Its template syntax feels very familiar if new HTML.
Yeah.
Compared to Angular, Vue apps usually start smaller, bundle size-wise, so faster initial loads. And Vue 3's composition API gives you a really flexible, powerful way to organize logic, kind of similar to React Hooks.
Composition API.
Right. And the tooling, like the Vue CLI and Vite integration, makes for a really smooth, fast development experience. Easy to learn, good docs, good performance, good tooling, sounds great. What are the trade-offs with Vue?
The main thing is the ecosystem, while growing fast, is still smaller than React's. Yeah. Fewer third-party libraries, fewer pre-built solutions readily available sometimes.
The ecosystem size. What else?
The job market, while definitely expanding, just has fewer Vue-specific roles listed compared to React or Angular, especially outside Asia where it's huge. Enterprise adoption is growing, but still lags behind the other two. And consequently, the overall community size, while very active and supportive, is just numerically smaller than React's or Angular's massive communities.
Smaller but dedicated, maybe. You mentioned Vue 3 maturing. What's been the impact of that?
Vue 3 is definitely the standard now. It brought big performance gains, a more solid foundation. The composition API is now widely adopted, giving developers more power and flexibility in how they structure components.
Right.
And we're seeing really strong full-stack frameworks built on Vue, like Nuxt.js, becoming very popular. They let you build the whole application front and back with Vue.
Full-stack seems to be the theme everywhere. Okay, let's put ourselves in the shoes of someone learning. How do these three stack up purely on learning difficulty and maybe time investment?
Yeah, so the general consensus and what the analysis reflects is Vue tends to be the most beginner-friendly.
Yep.
Then probably React, and then Angular usually presents the steepest initial curve because of its comprehensive nature.
And time-wise, any rough estimates to get, you know, basically proficient.
Super rough estimates, of course, because everyone learns differently. But the report suggests maybe 2 to 4 weeks for Vue to get the basics down to build something simple. For React, perhaps 3 to 6 weeks. And for Angular, maybe 6 to 10 weeks to feel reasonably comfortable with the core concepts.
Okay, those are helpful benchmarks. Even if they're rough, good to have a general idea. Now, the practical side. Jobs and money. What are we seeing salary-wise in 2025 for these?
Angular tends to be pretty similar, maybe slightly different ranges. Junior, 65-80K perhaps, mid-level. 80-115K, senior, $115K and up.
And Vue?
Vue salaries, on average, might trend slightly lower, but still strong. Junior, maybe 60-75K, mid-level. 75-110K, senior, pushing 110K plus. But a big caveat here. These are averages, location, specific company, your exact experience, that all makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. Location feels key. Are there geographic hotspots for each framework's job market?
Yeah, definitely. React jobs are everywhere, but huge concentrations in tech hubs like Silicon Valley, New York, London, Berlin, global innovation centers.
Makes sense.
Angular, you see it a lot where large enterprises are based. Certain parts of Europe, various U.S. regions with big corporate HQs.
Okay.
And Vue, as mentioned, is particularly strong across Asia, but gaining significant ground in Europe and North America, too. So, yeah, where you are or want to be definitely plays a role in immediate opportunities.
Super important factor for job seekers. Okay, quick hit on performance. We all want fast apps. Any major differences here?
The main takeaway from the report is that, honestly, all three can be very performant if you optimize them properly.
Right. Developer skill matters most.
Exactly. But there are baseline differences. If you look at a tiny Hello World app's initial size, Vue is typically the smallest, around 34 KB. React Next, maybe 42 KB. Angular's batteries included approach means it starts larger, maybe 130 KB.
Wow, quite a difference there initially.
Yeah, but in real world apps, with more code, routing, state management, the runtime performance often ends up being pretty comparable between them. The specific code you write matters way more.
And the developer experience, like build times, tooling.
That varies too. Vue, especially with Vite, is often praised for super fast builds and hot reloading. Angular's build process can sometimes be a bit slower, but its tooling is very comprehensive. React sits somewhere in the middle, generally good tooling, decent build speeds.
Okay, good overview. So performance is achievable with all three, with some nuances. Right, we've covered a ton. Let's distill it. How should someone actually decide which one to learn or use in 2025?
The report breaks it down nicely with some choose X if guidelines. Let's run through them.
Perfect.
Choose React if. You want the widest job opportunities. If you value maximum flexibility in that huge ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
If you're interested in mobile devs with React Native. If you like picking and choosing your tools. Or really, if you're building anything from small projects to huge platforms.
Okay, broad appeal there.
Choose Angular if. You're targeting enterprise jobs and large, complex applications. If you prefer a structured, opinionated framework with clear rules, if TypeScript's safety net is important to you, if you want that all-in-one solution, or if your team really values consistency.
Got it. Enterprise focus.
Choose Vue if. You're newer to frameworks and want that gentler learning curve. If you want a balance between flexibility and structure, if you need to integrate into existing projects easily, if team productivity and quick development are priorities, or if you're mainly focused on small to medium-sized apps.
Those are really clear guidelines.
Yeah.
Excellent. So bringing it all together, what's the main takeaway for our listener trying to make this choice?
Well, looking purely at market share and immediate job prospects, React is probably still the most strategic first choice for many, just because it's so dominant.
Opens the most doors initially.
Right. But if your goal is definitely large-scale enterprise work, Angular is incredibly valuable and highly thought after in that specific space. And if learning curve and developer experience are your top priorities, Vue is a fantastic, rapidly growing option.
Okay.
The report even floats the idea of a multi-framework approach. Maybe learn React first for market access, then branch out to Angular or Vue, depending on where your interests or job opportunities take you.
Start broad, then specialize. Makes sense. Now, looking beyond just picking one framework today, how do we future-proof our skills in this fast-moving front-end world?
That is such a crucial point. The report really highlights focusing on the fundamentals that underlie all these frameworks. Strong vanilla JavaScript skills, first and foremost. These frameworks are JavaScript. Understanding component-based architecture, that thinking applies everywhere now, getting familiar with different state management patterns, not just one library's implementation.
Right, the concepts behind the tools.
Exactly, and knowing your way around build tools and bundlers like Webpack or Vite, and understanding testing principles. Those foundational skills are transferable and will always be valuable, no matter which framework is trendy next year or the year after.
Focus on foundations. Excellent advice. Okay, so wrapping up, it really sounds like there's no single wrong choice here, does it?
Not at all. Each framework has clear strengths, its own niche, and they're all constantly evolving.
Yeah.
The most important thing, really, is for you to think about your own goals, how you like to learn, what kind of projects excite you, and pick the one that feels like the best fit right now. Then just dive in.
Dive in, and remember, those core concepts will carry you forward. All right, fantastic breakdown. And maybe a final thought for everyone listening. With things changing so fast, how might, say, the rise of more integrated full-stack frameworks or even no-code, low-code platforms start to shift the landscape for React, Angular, and Vue in the coming years? Something to chew on.
Definitely something to keep an eye on. The front-end world never stands still.
Yep,
hey, if you are inspired to learn more about any of these or brush up on those fundamentals, there are tons of great learning resources out there. Go explore.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for walking us through that complex landscape.
My pleasure.